Stand by for the Terry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Terry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. Today's special guest is from the Photo Eye. His name is David Warrington. Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
The Photo Eye. What is the Photo Eye?
The Photo Eye is a name that I came up with in 1979, and it's my assumed business name. It's not Bono, it's not Madonna, it's not Sting, it's the Photo Eye.
So you're a photographer?
I am, yes.
Okay. Tell me before we get into a lot about your company, and we want to get it because there's a lot of stuff I want to talk to you about. Tell me your background.
I'm from Oregon. I would say Portland, Oregon is where I went to high school, at Lincoln High School in Portland, Oregon. And I went to grade school at Chapman School and at Welch's School on Mount Hood, you know, in the rhododendron, Welch's zigzag area.
Rhododendron. The zigzag area? I've never heard that. I'm not from Oregon, so tell me what the zigzag area is.
Well, if you leave Portland, if you head up through Gresham and then 20 miles away is Sandy, Oregon, and then
in there,
yeah, and then you head on up the hill towards Timberline Lodge, let's yeah. say. Rhododendron is the last town before you hit government camp. Rhododendron is where I consider my home, is where I spent a lot of my youth, and I keep getting called back to the mountain for some reason.
You get weather up there, don't you?
We do get some weather up there. It's supposed to be snowing here in the next day or so, I guess.
Yeah. All right.
So from what I hear.
So tell me a little bit about your upbringing. Were you always into photography?
My mom was a children's photographer, so I've grown up around photography, and I was blessed that my mother was so diligent in taking great photographs of my younger brother and I. And for that, I consider it a blessing to be able to look back, because I was raised on a farm real close to Sunset High School. My grandmother, Amy Pearl, and John Henry Martin had a farm there. My grandfather was the first electrician out in Beaverton, Oregon. So
wow.
to have these kind of photographs as a kid, I consider that priceless, you know, and I've done that for my two daughters, actually.
When was the very first time somebody put a camera in your hand? You remember?
Yeah, my mom put a camera in my hand in 1968 when I was 4 years old.
So really?
She said, this is the first photograph that you've ever took. It was of my mom when she was 21 on her horse. And she said, you did great. You didn't cut the feet off the horse. You didn't cut my head off. And this is that image. So I thought, well, there you go. So I think the seed was planted then.
Yeah, and you've been taking pictures ever since.
I have been taking pictures ever since.
Let me throw you a curve. How many photographs have you taken, do you think? Give me an estimate.
Millions.
Really?
I'll put it to you this way. I was just looking at photographs that I had taken of my daughter, my youngest daughter, Antea B., and in the first year of her life, there were 10,744 photographs.
That's a proud papa.
That's
nothing
just
wrong
the
with
first
that.
Year.
Wow.
So there's some, yeah, millions of images. I archive every day. I sit down at a computer and I go through images, and I was just doing it yesterday and came across images that are in files that say, edit this. I mean, when I have too much to deal with, I just put them all in a file that says, edit this
sure.
file.
Sure.
And then go back to it.
What is there any one photograph that you are the most proud of? There's got to be one photograph that you took that you thought, man, this one.
Well, there's a photograph that I took August 28th, 1982, when the Grateful Dead were at the Oregon Country Fairgrounds. If you go to the Oregon Country Fair and you go on the lot there, and when they have you park your car, they put you in the dead lot, and they call it the dead lot because that's when the Grateful Dead played there August 28th of 1982. Okay. It was a performance that, well, someone went down and talked to Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead and said, you know what, we could really use your help. And so they did a benefit performance on August 28th of 1982, and that helped bring in the money that the country fair people needed to buy that land. So it has historical value. And I ended up taking a photograph, which was the 36th shot on my third roll of film at my third Grateful Dead show, and it was August 28, 1982, and I was 18. So there's a lot of eights and a lot of threes, if that makes any difference at all. I'm a numbers guy. But it became the late Bill Graham's most favorite photograph before Bill Graham died. We did business before Bill died, and this image was his favorite photograph, from what I hear from James Olness, who was Bill Graham's archivist. He says, I'll always remember the day that Bill came into my office and said, look at this photograph. So Bill sent me a letter in 1988, because I sent him an image of this photograph.
Right.
And I'm glad I did it instead of just, well, someday I'm going to do this. Well, follow through is everything. So I sent him a photograph, and within the week he sent me a photograph, or not a photograph, but he sent me a letter back that said, I must tell you that to me, this is the best photograph that I have ever seen that depicts that flavor of the 60s for those of us fortunate enough to be at the right place at the right time. He wanted to buy 10 16 by 20s, which I sold him. And I heard that he gave one of the 16 by 20s to Oliver Stone, the filmmaker. So one hangs in Oliver Stone's office. And it's become the iconic image, the most famous photograph out there of the whole Grateful Dead scene. Actually, when I was talking with Nicholas Merriweather, the archivist for the Grateful Dead collection at the University of Southern California, and when we first met, he said, David, yes, you know, I know that photograph, and I think every Deadhead knows that photograph.
Really?
So it's become kind of infamous in that respect, I suppose.
When you go someplace to do a photo shoot, back in the day, you used to still take film, right?
Everything's on film except for the last 6 years, right?
Okay, now it's all digital on.
Well, I still have my film cameras, and I bust it out every now and then, like for my youngest daughter, because I want some of her memories to be on film. I like sitting.
Why? What's the difference between?
Well, with film, I can go to a dark room and I can still do printing on archival printing on fiber-based papers and things like this. And then I sit down with oil paints, they're Marshall oil paints, and I sit down with cotton balls and toothpicks, and I hand oil paint the prints like the old 1800.
Really?
Yeah, I like doing that because I'm an artist and I like oil painting, and it's a luxury to have that time. I haven't been able to have that time. I'm hoping this spring or summer I'm going to make time for it to do that. I have a great place to do it at in the woods up on the mountains.
Your company is called The Photo Eye.
The Photo Eye.
And you started in 1979?
It was actually registered on April 23rd of 1979, which was my 15th birthday.
Okay.
My dad, full-on businessman, he said, you know, you love photography so much, why don't you start your own business? And that's really what you want to tell a 15-year-old. That's probably, I'll probably install that upon my daughter before she's 15.
Right. Growing up in high school, and were you just kind of like the photo guy, and you took all the pictures for the yearbooks?
Yeah, I did. In high school, in Lincoln High School, it was a mandatory basic design class as a freshman, but I challenged that. I said, you know, I know about photography and stuff. So Doug Morton, my photography teacher, gave me extensive testing, you know, as far as, you know, convex, concave, apertures, shutter speeds, that whole kind of thing. And he said, nope, right, you know photography. So they waived basic design for me, and as a freshman, I was in photography. Well, of course, the seniors and the older audience didn't like it. I mean, we even had two kids in the middle of the night come over to my house and smash the windows on my Honda car, but they got caught because my neighbor was a photographer.
Because you had a camera out there.
Well, my neighbor actually was a photographer, and he was editing, and he saw these guys take a baseball bat out of their car, and he was thinking, what are these guys doing? Yeah, they got busted and paid for it. But yeah, I did 3 out of the 4 yearbooks at Lincoln High School, and I was a photographer for the Cardinal Times, did all the photography for, you know.
Is this while you were still in high school?
Yes, Lincoln High School.
Okay.
Did a lot of the, you know, did track, did, I played football, I lettered in football, and I lettered in wrestling, but I did all the photography for the soccer teams, both soccer teams, just every sporting event, basically.
Sure,
And a lot of other things, yeah.
And then you got out of high school, and what'd you do?
Well, I continued with my
camera
photography.
Camera in your hand.
My camera in my hand, yeah. No, actually, I seeked my first photographer's pass while I was still in high school with the band The Who, and ended up
getting...
Yeah, Who, right. I didn't know
you
who...
You knew that was coming.
I didn't know who The Who were,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, Who the
until,
hell
are
Who?
But yeah, no, I was photographing the Portland Trailblazers in 1979. I was way into sports before I was into the whole music scene. I mean, who doesn't love music? But sports was where I was at. One of the reasons I started the Photo Eye was to get in to the door of the Portland Trailblazers and to get to be able to sit Indian style on the floor there right next to the Blazer bench and take photographs. And so that's what happened because of that.
Hey, let me ask you a question. David, in a typical game, how many photographs are you going to take?
Well, when it was film, I would take maybe a couple rolls because I'm 15 years old and I'm paying for the film and I'm paying for the processing. And it wasn't like I'm working for Sports Illustrated where I have a 200, bulk pack, I'm not shooting a 35 millimeter movie. I'm very careful about when I'm taking those photographs. So my eye was much keener then, much younger and better now. Now I'm wearing glasses, but I managed to obtain some exceptional images from those Blazer days. Dr. J doing the finger roll, Daryl Dawkins slam dunking it, and Kermit washing his face.
I'm looking at one of them right now, the Dr. J doing the finger roll.
Beautiful.
You were right there.
Right.
You were right there.
Well, that was 1979, so it was 2 years after the Portland Trailblazers won the world championship with the 76ers. That was a tough ticket to get into.
Yeah.
They did not give me a photo pass for that game, but my father had season tickets, so I said, Dad, I've just got to be there. So I was up in the stands with a tripod and a 200 telephoto lens shooting 160 tungsten film. I had to push it a stop to get the exposure that I needed, but that shot of Dr. J is one of my favorites for sure. Michael Jordan move over, And then it was when Daryl Dawkins was slam dunking it and busting backboards. It's because of Daryl Dawkins that they put the hinges on the backboards now, because he had shattered two of them in 79. Now that would have been epic to have captured
that.
Yeah. I would have loved that, but instead I've got him slam dunking it and Kermit Washington's face. So you have the two big bad boys of basketball, Kermit Washington and Chocolate Thunder, Special K.
I was doing some shows earlier this year down in Texas, and I went to Dallas, Texas on my day off down there, and we went and we took the tour through the Texas School Book Depository building where the president was allegedly shot. There's a photograph that hangs on the wall there, and it's two photographs. One of them was when Jack Ruby was walking through Lee Harvey Oswald was walking through the garage, and Jack Ruby was lunging at him with the .38.
Right.
And he had the gun in his hand, and he hadn't pulled the trigger yet. A photographer snapped that one,
right.
And then the next one was just as he pulled the trigger, and I thought to myself,
right,
what are those photographs worth?
Right.
What do you think somebody would pay for that kind of a photograph, a history like that?
Well, it's definitely historical. Value is an interesting thing when it comes to photography. I mean, I had a guy, a William Sagan guy that spent $6 million and bought out Bill Graham's archives, sight unseen, about six or seven or eight semi-trucks full of everything that Bill Graham, before he died, had collected. And he wound up with a piece of film that I had sold Bill Graham in 1990.
Oh, really?
Well, Bill wanted a mural size, a life-size image of that shot of all the hippies in the hayfield. When you walked into the Grateful Dead performance at Cal Expo in Sacramento, California, you're walking into that actual scene. And so he needed an inner negative that would give him more detail. So I sold him that piece of film, and years later it was bought by this guy, and this guy just thought he could do whatever he wanted with it. Well, he was infringing upon my copyright is what he was doing. So we worked out a $20,000 deal, and that's just for that one infringement. I should have hit him up for $150,000, but it was back then, and I was trying to be cool. And, $20,000 wired into your account was a big deal.
Not bad. For the click of a picture, right?
I have a lot of images copyrighted for just that reason. All my Stevie Ray Vaughan stuff, my Ken Kesey and the Prankster stuff, my Grateful Dead work, a lot of images have been copyrighted because I know that someday someone's going to think they can do whatever they want with it.
That's good. We need to take a short break. When we come back, more with today's special guest. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group, Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. Back in a moment.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Mm-hmm.
We're back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Weekend Show. Today, our special guest is David Warrington, who is the photo eye. He's a photographer. He's been in business since 1979. Some of you weren't even born then. Isn't that hard to believe that people weren't even born then?
Right.
That we know now. It's just amazing. I was given a tour of some Cub Scouts not too long ago at the radio station here, and I asked him, I says, anybody here know who Elvis Presley is? And this one little boy looks at me and goes, wasn't he the president? And I said, well, close enough. They have no idea. They have no idea who Elvis Presley is. They have no idea who the Beatles are. And before we get into some of the different folks that you've photographed, tell me about shutter speeds and apertures and all that other fancy stuff you guys talk about. I have a camera, and it's a digital camera. I stick it in there, and my wife says, what settings are you supposed to be on? I go, I put it on automatic because I don't know any of these settings.
Right.
What's the shutter speed? And everyone's
a photographer until you take it off of automatic. I mean, so your shutter speeds, like when I was photographing the Portland Trailblazers, I would shoot at 1/250th of a second. So you're shooting at 1/1000th of a second. Some cameras will give you 1/2000th of a second, 1/1000th of a second, 1/500th of a second, 1/250th of a second.
All right, let me ask you this question. I'm looking at this photograph right now of the Portland Trailblazers and the 76ers. This photograph was taken from in the stands, correct?
It was taken up in the stands about level of the net. And, I had a tripod and a 200 telephoto, so I was shooting at probably 1/250th of a second to capture that moment in time and space.
And it is so clear. You could see the expression on the faces of the players as well as into the crowd there.
Right. No, I love that shot because I worked hard to set that shot up. Like I said, it was 1979, 2 years after the Portland Trailblazers and the 76ers did that world championship, and of course we took it. That was a sought-after ticket that day. And that was the time when Daryl Dawkins was breaking backboards. And so to get an equally as impressive shot that I don't have here to show you, but it's the same angle, and it's Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder, slam dunking it in Special K's face. You know, of course, Kermit Washington is the guy that Dubonovich, or I'm forget who he hit, but he basically broke the guy's face. There's some history behind
it. All right, so getting back to the shutter speed stuff. So
shutter speeds are time increments that will allow you, you know, so sometimes like if you're outside photographing a waterfall and you want it to look kind of, you know, motion-like, maybe you would maybe shoot it at 1/30th of a second or 1/60th of a second to get a little bit of blur, a little bit of action. Not every photograph has to be crystal clean and super sharp. Depends on the eye and the photographer behind the camera. Now your apertures, the higher the numbers, like 22, 16, the smaller the aperture. So your lens is kind of, you know, it's a curve. So if your aperture is smaller, it's going to go through the sharpest part of the lens and it's going to give you more depth of field. So you want to ask yourself, what kind of depth of field? Do you want the glass of milk in front of you in focus, or do you want it out of focus and you want the baby in the background in focus? So the apertures you are working with to give you depth of field and opportunity to change your depth of field. You know, how much is in focus, how much is sharp, how much is it? Do you want just the middle part of the image in focus, or do you want the whole thing in focus, the background, the middle, and the foreground?
So you're not just pointing and shooting. You're looking at each photograph thinking, okay, now what do I want this to, how do I want this to turn out?
I'm trying to do that. In this digital era, it's easier to get lazy, and some people buy these multi-$1,000 cameras. They have too much gear. They have too much camera, and they just want to photograph the grandkids, so... But then maybe some lucky guy is going to get a good deal on a camera later.
How many cameras do you own?
Oh, I own about three. I still have my film cameras. I started my photography when I was young up in Canada with a Minolta SR-101.
Sure you
I had
did.
To use a handheld light meter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was a handheld light meter, and that taught me a lot about photography. I went into an AE-1 and then an A1, which was completely automatic, but I figured, what if battery factories turned into tank factories and I couldn't get a battery anymore? So I didn't want a camera that completely operated on a power unit. I wanted a manual camera, so I turned to a Canon F1. I still have my Canon F1s, heavy metal body cameras that you can use. They're tanks. They're indestructible. You can drop it from a two-story building and you can still take pictures.
So how many cameras do you have?
Well, I have those few heavy metal body cameras, and then I shoot right now with a Canon 6D, which is it's a digital camera, but it shoots full frame. I didn't want to change my perspective, so full frame is what I want to see the same thing that I shot through with my old heavy metal body cameras. For people that understand, I guess they understand, but the new kids on the block, they wouldn't probably know anything about full frame or how it was looking through a camera back in the day.
So answer my question, how many cameras do you have?
I have about three cameras.
That's all?
Yeah, I only need three. I only use one camera. I use a...
Well, see, I thought you'd tell me, oh, I have about 500 cameras.
No, I'm not like a musician like Eric Clapton or you know, one of the guys from Pink Floyd. I don't have 500 guitars.
How long will a typical camera last you? Not the typical person,
I
you.
Just had to have my camera tuned up. So, I mean, it's like a car. I mean, you know, if you're putting a
how
lot
do you
of
tune
mileage
up a camera?
On it, well, you take it to a place that can actually clean it and reevaluate the sensors and
really?
Make sure your focal points are still correct. I take care of my camera, treat it like my baby for sure. I take my camera gear with me most everywhere I go in case I see that mothership and those flying saucers. I've got to be ready for it.
Well, you know what they say, though. You take care of your equipment will take care of you.
So far, it's taken care of me just
wow.
fine. I've managed to obtain some exceptional image. I'm happy with the archives, for sure.
How many photographs in the archives do you think you have?
Tens of thousands of images, and I edit every day. So I'm putting together a book called A Look at Music. It revolves around my rock and roll photography.
What do you do in your spare time?
I work on a cottage up in Rhododendron that yeah. I had been looking at for the last 27 years. I bring back old places that have been abandoned for 20 years.
So when you go up there and you're going to do some work, you get your camera in the car just in case? Is that one?
I've documented the projects that I'm working on. I mean, the last project, and I'm still working on it for the last 2.5 years, is a place that had been locked up for 27 years. The blinds drawn, the curtains shut, not one ray of sunlight came in. And so when I opened up the door the day after the total solar eclipse, it was like King Tut tomb, white mold everywhere. I mean, no one had been in this
sure.
house for 27 years. But
did you take pictures of the eclipse?
I did not.
Now,
I was
why
there.
Would you not take pictures of the eclipse?
Well, I photographed the first eclipse that I was at in 1979. I was on an OMSI expedition,
uh-huh.
and I have great photographs of that eclipse up at the replica of Stonehenge up in Washington, and we weren't even sure if we were going to be able to capture that moment because it was foggy and the clouds were moving in. But as the Lord works in mysterious ways, it opened up, and I managed to get some great photographs of Bailey's beads and some great shots of the total solar eclipse in 79. This last eclipse in 2017, I had my youngest daughter with me, so it was more about photographing her and her looking at the eclipse. So, you know,
we'll be back in yeah. just a minute more with our guest David Warrington from the Photo Eye. Back in a moment.
Back in 5, 4, Q-Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. You know, when it comes time to move into a new home, it's time to consider Don Lule Homes. The Lule difference is simply setting the bar for quality service in Salem. Find out today about custom-built new home. Don Lule Homes offers open floor plans, quality craftsmanship, and over 50 years of excellent experience in new construction. Beautiful homes are coming soon. Call today and ask for Erica at 503-428-6992. Don Lule Homes. Good morning. We are back. This is the Terry Saul Weekend Show, Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host. And today our special guest is David Warrington from the Photo Eye. He's a photographer, and he's been, have you traveled all over the country taking photos?
I have. Yeah.
Where are some of the places you've worked?
Worked as a photographer or
yes.
worked in general?
Well, I don't want you to tell me about some places you've worked as a hamburger cook. Yeah, a photographer.
Because I've been a cook. No, I'm just kidding. Bangor, Maine. Stephen King's town there. Of course, after living in Bangor, Maine for about 10 years, now I know where Stephen King gets all of his ideas. He just lives there. Portland, Oregon, where I was raised. I've done a lot of photography work in San Francisco and in Seattle.
I bet there's some beautiful sites in San Francisco. That's one one of my favorite cities.
I love San Francisco, right? I would go down to photograph the Grateful Dead in San Francisco all the time back in the days.
Yeah.
Go photograph Jerry Garcia at the Warfield on Market Street back in the day.
Is that still open?
I think it is.
Is it?
Yeah, I believe so. And then, of course, up at the Fillmore, Bill Graham's Fillmore.
Remember the Purple Onion?
The band?
No, the theater.
I've never heard of the Purple Onion.
Really?
No.
I'll tell you about that off the air. Did you ever do anything in the Big Apple in New York City or in Washington?
I did. Well, I was there in 1984. I traveled with a good friend of mine, Peter. He went to Bard College on the Hudson River, and another friend of mine went to Vassar College. When I went out there to visit them, I made it down to Manhattan and made it to the top of the World Trade Centers and photographed the World Trade Centers. Actually, one of the images I have of both World Trade Centers managed to get me a beautiful ribbon at the Oregon State Fair and an honorable mention ribbon. It's a wide angle. It's a 17 millimeter super wide angle lens shot from downtown looking up at the World Trade Centers, and it's all black and white, which is just gorgeous. I love black and white photography.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, more than color almost. The sign in neon says Century, builds right up to the World Trade Centers.
Now, is that online? I'd love to see that. Is that online?
It is not online. I'm actually looking for, and maybe someone out there that's listening to this gets broadcast, I would love to find somebody that's a web designer. My website is about 7 years old, and that's considered ancient.
Right.
So I'd love to find somebody that would help assist me in building a new, fresh website, new look. Maybe we could do an exchange on some rock and roll photography, because I really don't feel like putting in a lot of money right now for a new website.
You worked on the East Coast then? And
taking great photographs in Boston, great photographs in New York and on Manhattan Island. All over Maine, I photographed. I was going to put together a book with an old business partner right after 9/11, you know, and about the patriotism that was going on in Maine after that happened. So Maine, Boston, Manhattan, New York City, and Connecticut. Actually, I've done some photography work in Connecticut.
Washington, D.C.?
Never been to Washington, D.C. I'd like to go someday, but I've never been
there. A lot of history there to film, or take photographs of, I should say. Do any of your photographs, are they on display anyplace?
I have permanent photographs of Jerry Garcia playing three of his five guitars at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
They've been there since 1995.
How do you get them there? Do you send them a copy and say, hey, look, this is what I've got. You guys interested? Do they buy it from you? How does that work?
Well, when it came to the photography of Jerry Garcia playing his guitars that are at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Jerry Garcia's exhibit, so he has five of his guitars there, three photographs of Jerry playing three different guitars, the Witch Doctor guitar, Tiger, and then the Lightning Bolt. Well, I had Howard Kramer, who was the curator for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Howard and I had known each other for a while, and so he contacted me. He said, well, David, we're going to have Jerry Garcia's guitars here, and we're looking for photographs of Jerry playing those actual instruments. Well, I had three out of the five, and so they are large prints behind the actual guitar in the Jerry Garcia exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And so that's how they seeked me out for that. I have photographs at Stephen King's Rock and Roll radio station in Bangor, Maine. Well, I was living in Bangor, Maine, so I went to their station. They purchased a body of my work that are on permanent display there. And I have five photographs in Martin Scorsese's documentary on the Grateful Dead. I haven't seen that movie yet. I'll have to watch it someday. And a lot of private collections. There are private people that have purchased my work for years, and they always are interested in new images for their collection.
Let's drop some names. Who are some of the folks that you've had the opportunity to meet and photograph?
I've met some great people. I've met Peter Townsend from The Who backstage during the Quadrophenia tour when they were rolling through town. Joe Satriani, he's super cool. Steve Vai, Guitar Heroes. Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Brown. I've met Lenny Kravitz. Lenny's super cool. Carlos Santana's cool. I was hanging out backstage. He opened up for Bob Dylan. And I said, Carlos, I'm excited to see your performance tonight. And he's like, I am more excited than a teenager in the backseat of a convertible. And Carlos is cool. And I caught him walking around the Oakland Coliseum parking lot after a Grateful Dead show that he opened up for. And
now, let me tell you something. You don't want to be walking around the Oakland Coliseum parking lot by yourself. You really
unless it's after a Grateful Dead show.
Well, I'm telling you, unless you've got a lot of friends backing you up, that's not the place to be walking around.
No, you don't want to be stuck. Last time I was in Oakland, I was like, what am I doing here? We took a train back. I took a train back and heading into Oregon, and we hit a bear on the trestle, killed the bear. We were stopped on the tracks for about 4 hours. Before we got out of California, some woman decided that she was going to ignore the crossing.
Whoops.
She went around. The Amtrak train hit her, killed her and her dog, and it took 24 hours for me to get back to Oregon. I was thinking,
wow.
What kind of trip was that?
And I know, not to change this up, but I've never understood that while people will try and play chicken with a train. It's not like the train can turn,
They have a sign, a poster there in the Oakland, train station that says every so many minutes or every so many seconds, somebody's hit and killed by a train. And
I'm thinking, that's crazy.
And you don't really believe that until you go through it. And I'm thinking, don't play chicken with the train.
No, you don't, because you're not going to win
every
time.
The gate comes down for a reason.
What do you like to shoot? Do you like indoors? Do you like outdoors? Do you like action scenes? Do you ever do somebody walks in and says, well, here's my little child, Johnny, and I want you to take pictures of him.
Yeah, I like it all, actually. I'm doing a photo shoot actually this weekend of a high school friend of mine's daughter and her husband and son. So that's on Sunday, and they need some great shots taken. They haven't had any photographs of their baby, and he's already 1 year old. And I mean, I've already taken 10,700 photographs of my daughter by the time she was one. So I enjoy taking all kinds of photography. My favorite is live musical events, performance photography. Within the last couple weeks, I photographed Frank Zappa's son, Dweezil Zappa, at the Roseland Theater in Portland, and Dweezil, super cool. Got some great photographs of Dweezil Zappa. Before that, was last October, and that was the Jimi Hendrix Experience project that came down from Seattle. Great shots of Joe Satriani, Buddy Guy, Dweezil Zappa. It was fabulous, Yeah, just photographed Blue Oyster Cult a couple weeks ago, and that was nice, too. I like live performance photography and how the light interacts with the camera, and back in the day with the film, of course. I do a lot of outside photography on Mount Hood. I'm photographing everything all the time. I cheat with my iPhone 11 because it's got two lenses, and it means I don't have to bust out the big camera.
But you've always got the big camera with you, though, right?
I do.
Talk to me about paparazzi. Now, these are these knuckleheads.
Sure.
They have their cameras. It depends on who you're taking the picture of. If it's Alec Baldwin, your camera's going to get smashed.
I can appreciate that. I wouldn't want to mess with Alex.
Well, he's a knucklehead. What can you get away with? If you came in here and you started taking pictures of me and I said, I don't want you taking my picture.
Well, then I wouldn't.
Can you do that?
It's just being respectful in whatever you do in the world. I mean, when I was down in the Yucatan Peninsula in 1982 when I was 18 and I was photographing, a lot of Indian people, up in the mountains of San Cristobal Las Casas or Oaxaca or Mitla or
Easy for you to say.
They think you're taking their spirit away. I mean,
really?
for them, when they see a camera in front of them, they're reacting a lot different. And so I wouldn't want them to feel uncomfortable. I never want anybody to feel uncomfortable when I'm taking photographs. So when you're photographing boarding events and things like that, or at a concert, when you purchase that ticket to a concert, you're kind of giving up your rights. You know that you might be photographed at that event.
But what about when they say no photography allowed? Does that exclude you, or you're a professional photographer?
Well, I usually try to set something up
in
that
advance
allows me to have that access. I'm fortunate in the 80s and the 90s and still throughout 2000s that I have set that up so I can do it. I mean, I'm not just trying to smuggle in a camera. Sometimes I do have to do that, though. Sometimes I don't get the authorization, but I'm thinking, okay, well, I still need to photograph this because I'm a driven photographer, so I still do what I can to get images.
Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, hey, you know what? Put that camera down. Don't take my picture. Don't photograph anything here.
I've had incidences where, I've dealt with security. Some people, you give them a security shirt and they think they're God, even though I've had access and I have the passes and the credentials to be there and obtain photography of whatever the performer is. I'll have some clown with a security shirt on hassle me, and so I've dealt with that kind of thing. But usually then an attorney gets involved and then they lose their job. And
the night of the event, though, your attorney's not going to be there to get involved.
No, believe me, when I was photographing the Recycler tour with ZZ Top, and it was a circus back then, and I had every pass on me that you can imagine. After show, working crew, photographer, media, then some guy said, well, I think you need to go talk to our chief security, because I think I saw you take a photograph over the third song. And I'm like, buddy, I know what my protocol is. I know how much time I have. But next thing you know, I'm talking to the chief security. And he's like, well, I think we're just going to take your film.
And can they do that?
Well, that's what they did. And they threw it away. And, well, I hired an attorney. We sued him. The guy lost his job. The second in command took his place. And we've been best friends ever since.
And you've seen that, sometimes on, Entertainment Tonight or whatever.
Sure.
They'll grab the camera and they'll rip out the film. Isn't that camera your property? How can they do that?
They do that because they've got a stick stuck somewhere, and they think that they can do whatever they want. It gets down to where they look down on you, and they think they can do whatever they want, and then they end up having to pay for it. I mean, you lose those images. I can never get back the film that was taken from me, of ZZ Top and stuff.
Right.
But I've been through a lot of situations like that. Most of them good. A few bad things out there, but it's a numbers game.
We need to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. Like I said earlier, we're just getting warmed up. Today's show is being brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler and the Lule Group. Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, Teresa Lule, State Farm Insurance. Back with our final few minutes in just a moment. Stick around.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. I am so glad to be back on the air, and especially here at Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Now, the incredible management team here at KSLM has given me the green light to not only air my show on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., but now, in case you missed it, you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for an encore broadcast. Now, if you miss both of them, I invite you to go to my website, www.terrysaul.com, and check out my podcast to listen to any or all of my past shows. Now, if you do that, well, I think you've got too much time on your hands. I have a lot of fun and exciting guests in the upcoming week, and we may just take this show with us on the road. So join us weekends for the Terry Saul Show, only on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM at 1220 AM, KSLM.
Back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on KSLM AM and FM. Brought to you today by the Lule Group and the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler.
Welcome back to our final few minutes with today's show. Our special guest is David Warrington from the Photo Eye. He's been a photographer since 1979. Where do you make your money?
I make my money selling fine art prints. I make my money, you know, doing photo shoots.
Do you do weddings?
I don't do weddings anymore. I've done. Here are my wedding stories. I've done 3 weddings, and the first wedding that I did was for a friend of mine, Siobhan Murphy, up in the West Hills.
Okay.
And she loved the black and white photography that I did, and she wanted me to hand oil paint all the prints from the photo shoot that I did of her wedding. And I photographed the wedding and did a great job, you know. And then oil painted the prints that she wanted done, and it was a lot of work. And then she found out that her husband was gay. They got divorced. And I'm thinking, how do you know? I mean, how do you get married and not know your husband's gay? So that was the first wedding. The second wedding I did for a friend of mine, Jason, a big, tall, dark-haired American Indian with hair down to his butt, and he married a
you can't say butt on the radio show. Rear.
But seriously.
Backside.
But seriously. And then he married a blonde bombshell and did a great photo shoot, covered the wedding just the way anybody possibly done a better job. Then they got divorced 6 months later, and I thought, wow, that's strike two. The third wedding I did was for someone back east, and this guy approached me and said, my best friend doesn't have a lot of money. He's going to get married at the Eagles Club. He gave me the sob story. I said, I'll do it for $200. You're never going to find anybody that's going to do it for 2 bills. Take a sunny Saturday off and did a great job.
Right.
And then the guy stiffed me, and I had to sue him a small claims car. So I don't do weddings anymore. It's the most important, most important day of your life. And get a professional, spend 10 grand, make sure it's
done. Is that what it costs now? 10,000?
It probably costs more.
Really?
It depends. I mean, if you have a good friend that knows what's going on, that's great. I will photograph your reception. I'll photograph the fun part of it. You know, people are having the gathering, you know.
All the food.
Yeah, I don't need the pressure of photographing your wedding, so I don't do weddings.
Hmm. We attended a wedding this year, and it was a high-class wedding, and they must have had, I think, 5 or 6 different photographers there filming everything.
And that's great because you have a lot of different
animals. Yeah, but what are you spending on all that?
I've had people put disposable cameras at their table, and
they did that
people
too.
Doing, you know,
they
taking all kinds of photographs. You know, you can never have enough photographers, in my opinion, because while you're over here, I've got this photograph of Willie Nelson I took at Neil Young's 30th annual Bridge School benefit, and Willie at the end of his performance took his camera and grabbed it by the neck and turned it upside down and put it above his head. His sister's on the left, he's in the middle, his son's on the drums, and then Lucas Nelson, his other son's on the far right, and it's a beautiful shot. The San Francisco photographer, this Blakeman or this Jay guy is in the far back on the right. So he didn't capture that. My point is that the more photographers that you have, the more coverage that you'll have, the better angles.
Sure.
You know, on that shot that I took of Dr. Jay, I was up in the stands with a 200 telephoto on a tripod. A friend of mine, Bill Zavin, who worked for American Steel, he had the press credentials. He was sitting down on the floor, and he has a shot of Dr. J that was taken at about the exact same time, and Dr. J looks like a gazelle leaping over people's shoulders. It's the most amazing shot. Those two shots, just, you know, completely different perspectives.
When you hang out with other photographers, do you guys compare notes? Like, well, I got this and I did that one.
No, I really don't hang out with other photographers, to tell you the truth. You know, that I don't really have a lot of friends that are photographers on the level that I do my photography. I stay to myself. I work on my projects. You know, I work up in the mountains and bring...
Do you ever get involved and with politicians and do any kind of political...
I do not. That's not my genre. It's usually musically related. It's sports related. It's human beings, people related. There are lots of events. You know, the Pickathon this last summer was great. The String Summit at Bob Horning's Hideout. I photograph events where people want to be there. They're vibrant. They're happy. You know, I could do several books on just people alone.
What's the one thing that you still want to do? I mean, you've been doing this since 1979. What is it you still want to do that you haven't quite had a chance to do it yet?
Put together these three books that I'm working on. I'm working on a book called A Look at Music, and that's going to have Bill Graham's most favorite photograph on the cover, all the hippies in the hayfield, and it'll just go into, you know, Neil on his Fatboy Harley, Aerosmith, Billy Idol, Tina, I mean, you know, all of these musicians that I've photographed over the years. That's a project I'm working on right now. It's just putting together the stories with the images. So I'm working on a couple books. One's a look at music. One's called The Adventures of Flash and Lucky and The Wolves of Castle Canyon, about two wolf dogs that I owned 20-some years ago, and they made it back and forth across the United States about six times. And the other book is called Here's to All the Cabins I've Loved Before, about cabins.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, three cabins that I've brought back to life that had been abandoned for 20 years or more. All the photography's been taken, and it's just putting the stories together for them. So
when I walk into your house, am I going to see pictures on all the walls and desktops and just everywhere
you're going to see a lot of visual everything. I mean, you know, our last place that we lived in Scappoose looked like the Fillmore. There wasn't a spot that didn't have something on the walls. But the older I get, it's more about less is more now. You know, I have little studios that I surround myself with, photographs of both of my daughters, my daughter Andrea, my daughter Antea. But otherwise, I try not to clutter up too much around me. Try to keep it a little simpler.
Yeah. Are you slowing down? Or are you still going strong?
I'm still going strong, but, you know, I mean, the older you get, the older you get.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So, I mean, your eyes, of course, you know, the curse of a photographer is that you need glasses to find your glasses. My eyes aren't as good as they were, but I'm archiving every day, and I'm doing what I love to do still. And I'm not going to give up on that. And so all good things in all good time. I'm a true believer of that. I had some fat musician guy named Jerry Garcia used to sing that to me all the time.
If folks wanted to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
You can email me at events, and then there's a dot, and then spell out Northwest, events.northwest@yahoo.com.
Okay.
You can certainly go to thephotoeye.net, and that's thephotoeye, and that's one word, thephotoeye.net. And of course, I will be seeking someone out there can build me a much better website, because it's about 7 years old and it's a glorified business card, but it's still there and it has a good presence and it gives you a good idea of some of the work that I do.
Okay, so a lot of the photographs are up there?
There are a lot of images there. There's a whole lot that I pulled out for Martin Scorsese's documentary on the Grateful Dead. So there's hundreds of Grateful Dead images. There are some specialty items, Stevie Ray Vaughan looking right at you, Neil Young on his Fatboy Harley Davidson, things like this. It's not the way that I envision it now because, of course, over the last 7 years, it's changed.
Right.
And technology has changed. So that's the world that we live in. I mean, now it's Instagram instead of Facebook. And, you know, we are always pushing the envelope and moving forward.
David, would you do me a favor? Would you come back and visit us again? I have 1,000 more questions I could ask you here. And I love looking at you. Some of these photographs here, they're incredible. And would you do me a favor and come back again?
I'd love to. I appreciate the invitation. Absolutely.
Our guest is the founder and photographer at The Photo Eye, David Warrington. And you can get in touch with him by sending an email to events.northwest@yahoo.com, or you can go onto the website, which is thephotoeye.net. We are just about out of time for today's show. Remember, you can catch our show every Saturday at 10 a.m. and a replay Sundays at 11 a.m. here on Salem's original radio station, KSLM. A reminder, if you missed any of today's show or would like to hear any of my shows, you can always hear a podcast on our official KSLM website at www.kslm.news or on my official website at www.terrysaul.com. If you would like to drop me a note, I would love to hear from you. My email address is terry@kslm.news. We'll see you next time. Take care and be safe.
You've been listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM KSLM. Today's show is brought to you by the Willamette Queen Sternwheeler. The next time you plan an event, think of the Queen. And by the Lule Group, featuring Lule's Car Connection, Don Lule Homes, and Teresa Lule's State Farm Insurance. That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Good show.
Bye, everybody.